Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Coming up on this week's episode, the Virtual Immersion Campus to Learn English. What is it? We will interview a Stanford course facilitator to find out. Saudi Arabia and Canada, kiss and make up, plus the idiom of the week, and where did the expression, my ears are burning, come from? All coming up on The James Rice Show. Hello, my class, and welcome to this week's episode of The James Rice Show. It is a pleasure, as always, to be with you here again from rainy Toronto, Canada. Yeah, lots of rain this week. So in preparation for the Disruptive Education Conference that many of you know I attended, it was held just this past weekend. Wonderful show. And you guys will be able to see the conference online. I will post it up on Facebook and on our website where you can still purchase the opportunity to see the webinar. We had an amazing discussion, so you should really tune in if you're a teacher, an administrator of a school. You will be able to watch that as well. So, but while I was preparing for the Disruptive Conference, I wanted to talk about virtual reality a little bit more. You know, and I had the thought in my head, wouldn't it be amazing to do a virtual reality classroom? I mean, can you imagine? You know, everybody's wearing those goggles, the Oculus goggles, or whatever you're using. And you could log in and create your own little avatar and walk around your classroom. And I could be your teacher or somebody else could be your teacher. And it would feel like a classroom, but it'd be kind of virtual reality. You're all in this classroom space and you'd be studying. And I thought that would be a really cool idea. So I started to check out, you know, what was going on in virtual reality as part of this Disruptive Education Conference. And I found some amazing stuff. I found this very cool virtual reality conference room where you could actually have different people from your office get together using virtual reality and have a meeting. And it's called Roomi, R-U-M-I-I, and you can visit their website at roomi.net. It's a pretty cool site, and it has options like screen sharing, whiteboards, file sharing, but you're in this 3D setting with your avatar. And I thought that would just be a cool way to do a classroom. So I was still kind of looking around, and I was digging around, and I found Voila Learning. Right here in my backyard, Toronto, Canada. This is an amazing company. Now, it's run by a course facilitator at Stanford University, and he not only had the same idea as me, but he's actually started to create the virtual reality classroom for ESL. In fact, he already has one created for French classes. So, as soon as I saw that, I had to get him on the show, and he did agree, and we will talk to him a little bit later on The James Rice Show. You do not want to miss that conference. Now, he did tell me that the virtual reality sets, like Oculus, are getting really, really close to perfection, but they're not quite there yet, and most of his users do not use the goggles. So I think he said something like 95% of his users do not use the goggles. They're just using their desktop. But those that do have goggles get that whole virtual reality experience. And he also told me kind of the virtual reality sets tend to be 1 or 2 seconds behind, you know, so they're not quite there. And when you look at the virtual immersion campus or anything kind of in that virtual reality world, you know, it kind of reminds me of the early days of gaming and computer games where we were playing games like Pong or Donkey Kong or Pac-Man, you know, where, you know, nowadays you're like, wow, it doesn't quite look so good. But, you know, we have today Counter-Strike and Warcraft and Grand Theft Auto and some of those cool sites. So I think that virtual reality will get to that point where they'll be able to create that real world sensation that you feel when you're playing games. And it's getting closer. It's just getting closer. And it will catch up to the quality. Now, if you are an edupreneur or a teacherpreneur, and you're wondering, you know, what is the future of education? Where should I invest my time and energy? Well, check out Roomie and check out Voila Learning. I will have links and info on my episode page, and you'll be able to check those links out and see a bit more. And these may be places where you can invest your time to learn and see what's going to happen. And maybe virtual reality might interest you as a future career, possibly, or a future investment of your time. So stay tuned for our interview with Voila Learning. That is coming up after the Idiom of the Week segment. So it's a fascinating interview, and you will not be disappointed. Students and teachers, we're putting it in our teacher talk segment, but students and teachers, you gotta check that one out. It's a cool interview. All right, let's move on to our top five listeners for this week. So where are our listeners coming from? All right, number one, the United States of America. All right, my American friends, good luck with your elections on Tuesday night. Second place, we have Brazil. Obrigada. Third, Vietnam. Wow, our Vietnam friends. Thank you so much from Vietnam. And number four, Stephanie, you are so excited. She's loving it. She's waving her hands up in the air. New Zealand, they were in fifth last week. They moved up to number four this week. So the Kiwis are loving us. They still love you, Stephanie. Obviously, they still love you. And they weren't offended by your Australian comments last week. And rounding out our top five is Japan. Konnichiwa to my Japanese friends. So China is up there as well. And Canada, of course. Canada 6, China 7. Any new countries this week, Stephanie? No, nobody new. She's giving me the big no. And we're still waiting on North Korea. Still waiting on North Korea to join our show. All right. So we're going to come up next with our next segment, Idiom of the Week.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
So it's been a rainy week here in Canada, and I thought, hey, why don't we look at some popular idioms that use the word rain? And in fact, so many songs use that word. It is a very, very common word in music. Yeah, a couple of classic rain songs. A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall by Bob Dylan. I know some of you younger students out there, who's Bob Dylan? Okay, you guys Google Bob Dylan. A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, or Here Comes the Rain Again by the Eurythmics. That's a classic one. Yeah, there's some other one. Lots of great rain songs out there. So rain in music or in drama often kind of shows sadness. Yeah, you know, like the Japanese drama. Whenever I watched a Japanese drama, you know, there was a man and there was a woman and they were in love, but they broke up or they separated, and then suddenly it starts to rain and the woman walks away from the man in the rain, and there is a close-up of the man crying in the rain because, you know, they're not showing his tears, but the rain is his tears. So how do we use rain as an idiom? Let's take a look at the top five rain idioms. Number one, rain on somebody's parade. This means that you often say something that makes a person unhappy. So you have a friend who is really happy, like, hey, I'm going to Mexico tomorrow, Cancun. Woo, I can't wait. Then you say, yeah, but you have to do your final exam first. Boom, so sad. You just rained on his parade. It is very negative expression to rain on someone's parade. So don't do that. Number two, rain down. Rain down. Also a title of a Phil Collins song, Rain Down. This has a couple of meanings. It's a very common expression. And it can mean something like to fall on the ground like rain. So, for example, the bombs continue to rain down in Afghanistan. And this is the most common usage where there's many bombs being dropped. So it rains down on Afghanistan. The bombs rain down on Afghanistan. So that's a common one. Number three, rain or shine. Rain or shine. Another common expression that means, you know what? We're going to play, we're going to travel, whatever the weather is like, rain or shine, we will go to Mexico. Rain or shine, soccer is always played. Well, that's a good one, yeah. Number four, I'll take a rain check. I'll take a rain check. This means that, you know, I can't go out right now, but I will go another day. So a friend might say, hey, James, let's go to the movies. And you say, no, I'll take a rain check. I need to study. Good student. Number five, rain out. That means there's been so much rain that the event was canceled. The baseball game was rained out, canceled. The picnic was rained out. Not gonna happen. No picnic. So, rain or shine, you will always listen to the James Rice Show, right? No? Really? Hey, don't rain on my parade, students. Maybe you'll just take a rain check. And that is the idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at ConnectWithJames for fun photos and updates on future episodes. Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
It is my pleasure to welcome Hosni Zawali, a course facilitator at Stanford University and the co-founder of the Lead VC Bootcamp at Stanford, plus the CEO of Voila Learning, which offers a virtual immersion campus for language learners. Welcome to the show, Hosni.
Thank you, James. Thank you. It's such a pleasure being here with you guys.
Or I should call you Haas, as they do in Stanford.
That's how they usually call me, yeah.
And thank you so much for coming on the show. And tell us a little bit about the virtual immersion campus.
Well, the virtual immersion campus, actually, it's not a new idea. We kind of worked on this. We've been working on this for quite some time with the public school boards across Canada and France. We wanted an alternative for students who were learning languages. In the case of Canada, it would be learning French as a second language. We thought that the learning of French in the public educational system was one of the worst experience, along with the airport experience, maybe. It's a tough one.
That is true, yes.
I know, it's a tough one, not only for the kid, for the teachers, and also for the parents. It's a source of tremendous stress and arguments, and the parents, you know, feel a little bit frustrated because the kids come back home with some French homework, but they don't know how to speak French, so they're trying to help their kids, and then it escalates. The whole thing is absolutely, it's an absolute disaster. So we decided to come up with an idea. Today, if you want to learn a language, you can either go to, for instance, French immersion. But the problem is, first of all, you're surrounded by people who speak English. So it's kind of really hard to use your second language, French, for instance. in a social way. You only stuck to the book and the paper and the pencil and so on and so forth. The other option would be to go with Duolingo or Rosetta Stone. The problem here is I've yet seen anyone becoming bilingual by using an app. An app leaves you alone with yourself. It's not really a good way to learn a language either. The best way to learn the language is to get on the flight and go to the country.
Right.
So in our case here, that would mean take 2 million kids and send them to Quebec or send them to France for a year. But obviously that's not realistic. So we decided to come up with an idea of creating a virtual immersion campus where we will build a coffee shop, a self-service, we'll build a hospital, we'll build many services that you will find in the real life. And this campus is here to mimic real life situations. So our teachers are actually here to help students, but also not really in terms of homework or anything like that, but it's more in terms of interacting, like if they were downtown Paris or downtown Rio de Janeiro, if it's for Portuguese, for instance. So we came up with this idea and we tested it a lot over the public system. So we're talking about 3,000 kids, or excuse me, 3,000 schools, and 40 school boards. We're talking about a lot of interactions there, hundreds of thousands of interactions over the past 4 years. We've learned a lot through it. And now we decided to come up with our new product, which is basically directed to the ESL schools, the English as a second language. We see every year all these students coming from Brazil, Vietnam, China, India. They're coming either to Toronto, Vancouver, and all these great cities in Canada to learn English. Well, we're offering a system for ESL schools to be able to actually give classes, give courses, while students are still in their country. So they actually can learn even before setting foot in Canada, which is much, much better. And they learn in a very experiential way, in a very social way. They're not going to learn, all right, the pluperfect, and this is how you conjugate this word. No, which that doesn't work. It's going to work this way. The kid is going to be still in his hometown, for instance, in Shanghai, and he will be on the virtual campus, and we'll give him every day a challenge on the virtual campus. He has an avatar. He has to walk around the campus, and today you've broken your arm. Your arm is broken. You need to actually figure out in this entire campus how to fix your arm, but you got to do that. You got to do all that in English. Imagine.
Wow. Really? So you give them a task at the beginning when they log in. They don't know what's going to happen.
That's right. We have basically a scavenger hunt. They don't know exactly what kind of problem life's going to throw at you today.
So it could be a broken arm. It could be, hey, you want to buy a hamburger. Hey, absolutely. You want to buy a coffee, or you got to go.
You got to sign in for your courses. Find a way to do that. But he's still in Shanghai. Therefore, after 2 months, the ESL school will be able to teach the students all these skills. When they come to Canada, they're actually way better prepared to face the Canadian society culturally, but also in terms of language. And it's a win-win situation because the ESL schools has basically increased its revenue by selling more courses to students who don't take any seats in their school. It's all online.
Now, I saw that they're actually interacting with other people.
That's right.
So could a person from Shanghai be interacting with a person from Brazil or Mexico or Canada?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in this virtual campus, we have many classrooms. And the classrooms are supposed to mimic what they're going to be facing 2 months down the road when they're going to take their flight and come to Canada. So basically, in this classroom, you can be paired with a Brazilian person, a Syrian person, someone from China, someone from Japan, and that would be your classroom. And together we build these scavenger hunts where together as a team, you guys are going to have to solve a problem within the campus. So there's these individual challenges that everyone needs to go after to gain points, rewards, leaderboards. But there's also teamwork, which basically increase the way students interact with each other, but this time in English. As a matter of fact, they can only do it in English because that's the common language.
Now, are they speaking in English, or are they texting or typing, or how are they communicating?
They're all speaking, And if they want to chat basically by texting, they can do that too. But the idea, it's more about using your microphone like you and I are doing it right now.
Now, are they wearing the virtual reality goggles?
That's a good question. So if we do that, unfortunately, we exclude 99% of students because not everybody has an Oculus Rift or a goggles, like you said, the VR goggles. So for those who want to do it, might as well just do it. But I would basically, we this service, so this technology is catered to students who have a tablet, a computer, or a cell phone.
So but they can, if they have the Oculus, they can do it.
That's right. If they have the Oculus Rift, they can totally do it if they want to. Absolutely. So that's the technology is going there as well. Slowly but surely, the AI with combined with 5G, combined with the virtual reality and the augmented reality, we're going to see amazing products coming out pretty soon.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can see yourself creating these worlds every time they log in. These amazing worlds that they can interact with each other and they don't necessarily have to study abroad.
Not only that, actually, it goes even beyond that. So right now we're in communication, for instance, with banks, and I'm not allowed to actually say which bank, but this bank here is offering us the opportunity to actually for the students to open a bank account, even if they're still in their home country, through the virtual campus. Therefore, wow. We built a bank, actually. We're just going to have to put their logo in there. We put the
and
logo.
The money. And the money.
Well, actually, not really, because, you know, it's actually built, you know, on the campus. So what we do is we make them go through a whole process, which is another challenge, of opening a bank account in Canada while you're still in Shanghai.
Right.
When they set foot on the country, in the country, their credit card, their bank card, and their account is waiting for them.
Now, what materials are you using? Are you guys generating these own your own materials here, or are the teachers online with the kids?
So you're talking about curriculum?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good question. So it's a combination of two things. The first one is the teachers, the ESL schools, provide their own teachers. So the teachers have their own curriculum, and they deliver the classes. We teach them how to interact in terms of gamification. How to take this content, this educational content that is actually built for classrooms and transform it into a real life situations that they could be using all over the virtual campus. That's what we excel at. That's the first one. The second is pretty soon we won't need any teachers. Well, actually, we'll always have teachers, but right now, let's put it this way. If you have an entire campus, and let's just say you have 1,000 students connecting at the same time, okay? How many teachers do you need to actually moderate all this crowd? All these students have paid something, they're paying for their classes, but how many teachers do you need for 1,000 students who are just running around an entire virtual campus? That's a lot of teachers. Well, guess what? Artificial intelligence is making massive progress. We're talking about NLU and NLP. So for those who don't know it, it's natural language processing and natural language understanding. It's basically your Siri or your Alexa on steroids. Those machine learning, those deep machine learning will be able to actually interact with the students, measure everything, their progress, how many times they connected, how long do they stay, how much, depending on what they said or what they wrote, are they feeling anxious or not? We measure everything. So you see, the technology is going there. And for such a long time, learning a language has been pretty much brick and mortars, but now it's changing a lot. I do believe that what ESL schools are doing, it's amazing, it's awesome, but I think that that could be also combined with some technology that allows other students who cannot afford to come to Canada to actually learn through the virtual campus, but with Canadian or American teachers. That's really the key of it.
This seems to be an age group that's kind of K to 12, is it? Or what's the age range that you're working with here?
Well, for the past 4 years, we've been working with K to 12. And now we developed this new platform for ESL schools, meaning university students and adult learning.
Okay, so you will be focusing a bit on some of the adult learners as well.
Oh, not a bit, actually. That's actually the focus for the next few years, James. It's crazy because check this out. Take a look at Brazil, for instance. Very interesting country, especially after the elections yesterday. Eight learners, English learners, out of 10, eight people who are learning English out of 10 cannot make it to Canada or United States to actually have an immersive experience.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Well, guess what? We're offering the ESL schools the opportunity to reach out to these eight out of 10 students. Can you imagine what that represents in terms of profit for them, in terms of market for Canada, in terms of everybody loves these immersive interactions. It's one thing to be in Brazil. It's another thing not to be able to learn English because you can't take a flight. All that, it's pretty much in the past now.
One of the, I guess, issues of learning online and learning through this type of process is that the teachers need to be online at certain times that the students are online. How are you fixing that issue where you have a child in Shanghai who's in a different time zone than the child in Brazil and the child in Canada or the teacher in the US? Do you know what I mean?
And that's a very good question. And we're having the same problems at Stanford, actually, because I teach at the, I facilitate the courses on the executive level. So all the executives are actually all over the world. So they're right. In India and China and Europe and Brazil. So we need to group them by time zone. If we do that, that's totally fine. And we've been doing it for the past 3 years now with Stanford, and it works perfectly. Now, that's not the biggest issue, James. The biggest challenge, it's actually in what we call gamification. You see, learning a language through books is not very attractive for students who are constantly hooked on social media.
Sure, exactly, yeah.
And having their constant gratification through thumbs up, likes, hearts.
Right.
One of the courses that I facilitate at Stanford is called User Experience and a Neuroscience Perspective. It's basically very interesting when you start learning about what's going on in the brain of a student or an adult when they are learning a language. The dopamine loop, the serotonin, the stress hormones, basically the cortisol, what's going on in there. If we start understanding what's going on there and you basically match the release of your rewards according to what they feel, you get them hooked not only to a device, but you get them hooked to a platform that teaches them something. It's basically we're using, look, at the end of the day, the whole science, it's not really in terms of technology and building this platform. You see, the whole science lies into, if you really want to learn and know what Voila Learning, what we do at Voila Learning, you're just going to have to go to Vegas. It's true. Believe me, it's so true. You go to Vegas, you don't drink, you don't do any crazy stuff, and you just observe. Vegas has perfected the art of getting people hooked on their device. These coin machines, these slot machines.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, James, you know what? Here's a fun fact. Do you know what is the most common disease in Vegas?
Well, I would say gambling, but maybe not.
It is a disease indeed. But you know what? The emergency services, I called on the most often for bladder infection.
Oh.
People are hooked on their slot machines and they don't want to leave. They don't want to leave. So basically, check this out. In this slot machine, you have a chip. And in this chip, you have a mathematical algorithm. This algorithm is meant to release the reward, give you a reward whenever you need it the most, and get you basically hooked on that device. That's why bladder infection is actually the most common disease in Vegas. So you take that, and those guys have been hired by Facebook, and they've been hired by Google, and
sure,
they've been hired by all these social media. Well, guess what? The learning industry, the educational industry, especially EdTech, education and technology, they have to get on board. Because basically, at the end of the day, students will be hooked on the device. Now, you're just going to have to choose. What are they going to be hooked on? Social media, meaningless stuff, or are they going to be hooked on math, English,
right,
French,
productivity. Learning. Yeah,
absolutely. That's right.
Yeah.
That's why it's so popular. What we do is so popular. You know, we went from a few hundred students using it the first year to over like 300,000 interactions last year. It's massive.
Well, you're going to have to make it an immersion casino. That would be a big one.
That's so Machiavelli. Oh my God, I haven't thought about that. Let me take note of this. Hold on.
Yeah, you got to think about that one. Now, and you got to at least give me 10% if you think of that. Is there any testing or anything like that? Is there any evaluation or assessment of the students?
It's a very, very good question. So as I said, two things to differentiate. The first one is what we built for the past 4 years for the K-12, and that works great. That works great. And what we're building now for the ESL industry, okay? So for the testing, we've done extensive testing on the K-12. The reason is simple. One of our offices in Toronto, we have two offices, but one of our offices is on the third floor of an elementary school. And the deal with that school is that we're going to be there building the next generation language learning systems. But at recess, we're going to ask a few students to come up and test it. And that gives us basically instant testing. And we go, actually, I printed that in big in my office. We can't improve what we can't measure. So basically, we need to measure everything. Everything needs to be measured. We've done an amazing, amazing job at doing that with the K-12. And that's why now students are getting much, much better in French, in English so fast, and they are getting so enthusiastic and engaged in a campus. We need to do the same thing on the ESL level. We need to teach the ESL schools how to deliver the content and how also to get them to a level of engagement that will increase their exposure. At the end of the day, James, and I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me, language acquisition, it's a very simple equation. It's exposure multiplied by time. You need to expose them to English, and you need to multiply that by time.
Sure,
Right? If we can do that on a virtual campus, you are guaranteed that the students will learn way faster than any other book or any other app out there.
Well, it's fascinating stuff, Hosni. I got to say, I am totally fascinated by it. And can you, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they reach out to the Voila Learning?
So they can go to voilalearning.com. So V-O-I-L-A learning.com. And you know what? We are actually pretty easy to get hold of, mostly because we work with so many organizations and school boards. But yeah, the next thing is we have meetings with ESL schools pretty much every week. Every week, ESL schools are very interested in us, in this platform. Well, because as I said, we give them the ability to tap into this untapped market of 8 students out of 10 who cannot make it to Canada. So yeah, please reach out to us. We'll be happy to test this this new platform with you guys, and we'll be happy to learn and disrupt education.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure. That was a fascinating discussion. Much appreciated.
Thank you, James. Thank you. See you next time.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
Welcome to the Did You Know section of our podcast here, where we try to answer the question, why is English so crazy? Like, why does an alarm go off when actually it is going on? Ask your teacher that one, my students. All right, today we're looking at the expression, my ears are burning, my ears are burning. What? Yeah, so my ears are burning means someone is talking about you. Okay, so we use that expression where you think there is some gossip or somebody saying bad things about you, and you say, hey, my ears are burning. I think people are talking about me. Okay, so that's the idiom. That's the expression that is used quite commonly. But where did this expression come from? Well, in Roman times, Julius Caesar, or if you watch Gladiator with Russell Crowe, Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north. In the Roman times, it was believed that a burning sensation in the ears meant that a person was being talked about by others. Same meaning as today. But they believed that if your ear was burning on the left side, it was evil. Evil talk. They were going to do something evil to you. But if it was burning on the right side, then people were saying good things about you. And now you know.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today.
Coming out of Canada and Saudi Arabia today, it was announced this past week that Saudi Arabia has reversed their decision to force thousands of international students to leave Canada before they started their studies this fall. So the Saudi Ministry of Education earlier in the summer, ordered 14,000 students out of Canada, get out, because of a tweet by our government wanting the release of a couple of human rights activists. So the Saudi Arabia and Canada, they were fighting, and you know I talked about this on the show a bit, and I thought that that Canada kind of overstepped their government duties there, perhaps. And certainly a lot more has happened in Saudi Arabia since there. But many of the students that have been in Canada and have been studying in Canada will be allowed to stay in Canada, at least in the universities, and finish their education in Canada. And it is only for those in universities, and it is only for those who have 1 year left to go. But you know what? It's kind of a step in the right direction to calming down this tension between Saudi Arabia and Canada, because certainly was a little tense there for a while. So it will not affect language students, unfortunately, but it will help those in university. So it's a good step. It's a good step forward, and you know, Canada is. We're a nice country here in Canada, right? I mean, we don't get that that angry at people. We're not out there trying to change other countries. But you know, we do calm down and try to say sorry and keep the you know, the kindness flowing. We're kind people here in Canada. So that's great. And like I said, I was at the Disruptive Education Conference, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in the coming days and weeks ahead. So you'll be able to stay tuned for that information. Watch for links to the conference. It was recorded, and we did create a webinar. I guess they're creating kind of a webinar. I'm not involved in that side of the Disruptive Education Conference, but they are creating, I guess, a video or a webinar series where you'll be able to log in, and yes, you will have to pay. It's not free, sorry. And you will be able to log in and watch the conference, watch the speakers, some great speakers. We talked a lot about changing the ESL industry, hopefully for the better. And as I talked about at the beginning of the show, I did my presentation mostly on education technology and edtech, and where I see edtech going in the future. And I have some ideas and some possibilities. And as we listen to the interview today about virtual reality immersion campuses, there's a lot of possibilities out there. And also in my presentation, I talked about how you as a teacher can implement EdTech into your class. So especially if some of you are overseas teaching and maybe you don't know how to, you know, start teaching your students with this education technology. And so I give you some tips on how to do that because I've helped a lot of teachers get started using the EdTech. And I know a lot of you guys want to use it and you're using it in different ways and how can you better use it. So I hope that some of my suggestions at the conference will help those new teachers who are kind of entering the EdTech field. And for those teachers who are more experienced, I talked a little bit about where I see the future going and where you can invest your time and your energy to invest in yourself, perhaps to get certification, perhaps to go back to school, and what you should think about or consider studying. So I did that a lot in the conference, and we'll hopefully you guys can watch and enjoy that as well. All right, so we're coming to an end for this week's show, and I want to remind you to visit the website www.thejamesriceshow.com, and you can find links under the episode page to a lot of the stuff that I was talking about, links to Voila Learning and Rumi.net and some of those other sites. And I hope you'll find some valuable information there that you can click on and use. So, as always, thank you so much for listening this week. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.